Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Thanks for tuning back in. Garrett Smith here with you, as always. And this week on the pod, let me first double back. If you guys listened to the last episode, I talked about Willwood Golf Club and a really cool experience I got to have with some listeners that had reached out to me and invited me to come and play their home club. And Willowwood's over in Portland, Michigan. It's a real hidden gem. If you listened to the last episode, awesome. If you haven't, I highly encourage you to kind of double back and tune into that, because it's just a really cool story about a cool opportunity to meet some new people, play some golf at a new place to me, and a golf course that I've got very limited experience with. So it was a ton of fun to get out there and share that with those guys and then be able to talk about it here on the podcast. But I had also mentioned I was going to highlight some other rounds of golf I've played recently. I've been up to Pilgrim's Run out in Pearson, playing out to the Mines with some buddies and played out there. Haven't talked about either of those on the podcast yet. Highly intended to this week, but this week kind of took a turn in a different direction for me. Going even further back on the podcast, if you guys recall, I had mentioned a lot about the Grand Rapids area events I play in with the West Michigan Golf Association, and how they had one more event on the calendar, the Grand Rapids City Stroke Play Championship being held at Watermark Country Club. And as that turns out, it's this weekend. And whether it's just kind of been getting out and playing a lot of fun golf with good friends and enjoying some good courses and playing well, or the build up to the PGA Championship this week. I've been tuned into that, of course, and it's been exciting seeing major championship golf back on television for the first time in 2020. But either way, just kind of the hype around that and playing good golf lately, I took the opportunity to sign up for the Grand Rapids City Championship. So I will be out at Watermark Country Club this weekend and super excited for that. So this episode on the pod, we'll kind of talk about that just a little bit. I don't have a ton to say around that, but other than that, we'll just kind of talk golf, talk what's been going on here in West Michigan, some of the courses I've been dipping into, and the PGA Championship this week. I mean, why not? It's Thursday afternoon. This podcast is going live tomorrow, so Friday morning we'll be one round deep into the first major of the year, so why not chat about that? So anyway, you guys know the drill. Stay tuned for a quick ad, and when we get back, we'll be talking more golf. All right, guys, welcome back. And let's kind of just pick up right where I left off with the Grand Rapids City Championship this weekend. If you guys, again, had kind of listened back a ways, I had really strongly considered not playing in that event this weekend. And back when I played Kauffman, that was the last West Michigan Golf Association event that they held, and didn't play particularly well, didn't make the first round cut, and they went on to the Michigan Open qualifier at CCL, Country Club of Lansing, and again, just kind of rode the struggle bus a little bit. But we're not here to talk about that. We're looking forward. And so kind of when I got back from those events, though, I went back to the office and caught up with Paul, who you guys have gotten to listen to a couple times on the podcast, and just told him, I said, hey, man, this is kind of what's going on. This is where my game is at, and this is kind of what I'm thinking moving forward. The city championship is the last event on the calendar. It's at Watermark. I don't really care for the golf course. I don't really plan on playing. And he just looks at me and he goes, you're going to play. And I kind of laughed and I was like, maybe, but probably not. And I was like, dude, I just wasn't feeling it at the time. But anyway, so since then, I've kind of gone back to the drawing board a little bit, taking a look at some swing video, tried to feel a couple of things, and I had some ideas of some things I wanted to change from a technical standpoint in my golf swing. And one of those things was just kind of very feel based, and I just had to kind of find a feel for what I was trying to accomplish and figure out what would help me get to the position and get to the right spots in my golf swing that I'm trying to get to, in order to eliminate what I kind of referenced a few times earlier in the season as being my kind of Ric Flair shot, the 30, 40 yards right of target off the tee issue that I've been dealing with. But so I kind of went back to the drawing board, figured that out, and kind of adopted something that has really, really served me well in the last few weeks to month, and at least the last handful of rounds of golf I've played. So kind of thinking back to that, I went out to the Mines, which I mentioned, and I'll put out a podcast on that, and played with a couple of buddies, and that went really well. I hit the ball very, very well there, ended up shooting 69, which is at the Mines one under par, but I hit 10 of 14 fairways that day, and drove the ball exceptionally well and just hitting good shots. And then played Pilgrim's Run as well, prior to the Mines actually. And that was the first time I kind of went out there with this feel to play 18 holes. And I opened up at Pilgrim's Run. We'll cover this again in another podcast episode, but I was 3 under through 8 and ended up shooting 74, which is only one over par at Pilgrim's. That's a par 73. And that was a cool experience. Obviously, you don't like to go from 3 under through 8 to shooting one over for 18, but had a couple of challenges down the stretch, but we'll cover that again at a future date. But just really been playing solid golf. And then if you tune in to the last episode again, Willowwood, we had a great time. I got out there with Chad and his son Kyle, and I hit the ball very, very well around Willowwood, drove the ball well. And I'm kind of dishing a common theme here, whether it's Pilgrim's Run, whether it's the Mines, whether it was Willowwood. I've been driving the ball really well. And so I've done two things since my last competitive outing. And one of those things was kind of adopt a little different feel. And I don't divulge all my secrets here on the podcast, so I'm going to keep that feel to myself because it's working out well for me. And if you guys want tips, we can always talk that on the side. Hit me up at gsmithgolf on Instagram and we can go from there. But I kind of adopted a little bit different feel for my swing, and in particular my takeaway. That's as far deep into the secrets I'm going to go. But on top of that, I also put a different driver in the bag, and not a totally different driver, because if you guys listened back a while ago, I kind of did a brief segment in one of my podcasts, What's in the Bag, and went through my clubs and the technology that I use. And one of the things that I've done this year was kind of adapt to. I went away from the traditional blades and went to the TaylorMade P750 and P770 iron set, kind of a combo, just embracing technology. I mean, there's too much tech out there still in good compact looking clubs and good players clubs that it's almost, I mean, you're kicking yourself if you're not taking advantage of the added forgiveness and the added just stability and what's out there, and whether it's irons or fairways or drivers, anything. So anyway, at the time I told you guys I had an M5 in the bag, and the M5 is an awesome driver, and it's hot. It is seriously something that I hit very, very well, and I found a shaft and head combination that worked well for me most of the time. And it was one of those things where when it was good, but when it was bad. And with the M5, I mean, if you guys are familiar, it's got the movable weights, it's got obviously the shaft comes out, and you can tinker with loft, face angle, lie angle, and adjust those all. And I think for me, when things go south, I immediately start to tinker, I guess. I whether it's just minor adjustments in lie angle or loft, or I'd move the weights around just to kind of put a different feel on the club head, because I just always felt like I was searching for something. And so what I decided to do is I ended up getting a killer deal on the TaylorMade M6. And if you guys are familiar, that the M6 is TaylorMade's kind of more forgiving, more stable model. Again, last year, came out in 2019, but no movable weights, just it's got the whole TaylorMade inertia generator on the back, that the same stuff they carried into the sim line this year, but just a much more, from what I had always heard, kind of forgiving and stable club head than the M5. And so I picked that up, had the extra shaft. I had the Mitsubishi Tensei white shaft sitting in the closet and wasn't using that. And so I picked up the M6 head, threw that shaft in it, and it has been money ever since, which has been super cool for me because it's night and day difference. If I mean, I know a ton of guys and just have talked with a lot of people about the TaylorMade M5, and when it's good, it's good. However, when it's not, it's not. And the M6, I've just heard from multiple people that it's so much easier to hit, it's so much more forgiving, so much more stable through impact, and produces comparable results. And for me, if the M5 ever kind of came up short for me in any way, it was in spin rate. And purposely got the M5 because all through high school, all through college, and all through my golfing career, I've struggled with too much spin on the driver. I just hit far, far too, I mean, I hit it too high more often than not. And a lot of times it'd be too spinny and go nowhere in the wind. And then when it lands, it doesn't release. It would either plug or always be next to its pitch mark. and stuff like that, which is never good off the tee. And so the M5 is what kind of drew me because of the low spin rate. However, I almost spun the M5 too little. And in a lot of occasions, if my miss hits were such, especially kind of high toe, that is such a quick low diving hook. And then even almost anywhere on, if I hit kind of high in the face, which is normally kind of that high launch low spin, for me it was more often than not just too low spin, and it posed more problems. So the M6 head, I think that one, and granted it's not very much, if you look at the specs online, you kind of do your research that way. I mean, you're talking on average a couple hundred RPMs of additional backspin, so not hugely significant. But again, that all depends on your golf swing and your swing speed and your tempo and your shaft and all the other kind of points that play into launch conditions. But for me, that M6 has just been money. And having that kind of weight low back in the club head, I threw some lead tape on there to increase the swing weight a couple of points because it was a little bit on the light side for me. With that tensile white shaft, I think it just kind of felt a little too light in the club head. So just a little bit of lead tape added. I think it's up to maybe from a D3 is what it was at to I think a D5 or a D6 on the swing weight chart. So just what it's done for me is just help build confidence. It's been one of those clubs where I can step up on the tee, and even though when you're looking at the M6 compared to the M5 at address, you're going to see next to no difference. So visually, for me, it was a very seamless transition. And from a functionality standpoint, it's just been a way better fit. So, combination of swing feel and new driver, I've got a ton of confidence off the tee. And what's funny about golf is truly the fact that confidence is everything. When you can go out there and trust what you're swinging and trust that you're doing the right things and know that the results are going to be there, it makes golf a much, much easier game to play. And so that's kind of why heading up into this opportunity here to play in the City Championship, that was kind of a big part of why I decided to sign up, is things have been going well. I've got a good driver in the bag. I've got a good swing feel. And I thought, shoot, man, this is what you do. I play golf to compete. Of course, I love to have fun and get out with my buddies and stuff. But I mean, I play to play competitively and to try to win. And although my golf game has been very subpar in not the good way this year, I still have a lot of confidence and I know that the ability is there, and it's just kind of a matter of getting all the pieces to fall into place. And so, knowing that this is the last individual event of the season, the last opportunity for me to get out there and play competitive golf on my own, I thought, man, this is. I'm not just gonna, I can't just sit around and not play. I'd rather get out there and grind than not get out there at all. So, super looking forward to that this weekend. And as far as preparation goes, this week has kind of been weird. I haven't really practiced much or prepared much. And I played the 9 holes at Kauffman earlier this week. If you do follow me on Instagram, again, at GSmithGolf, I kind of put out a little teaser on Monday because I had a pretty cool opportunity to get out with Paul and Evan, who have both been on the podcast, and then our friend and former coworker, Connor. And so we got out and played Kauffman together. We played the front nine in what I decided to coin as the Match 2.0. Real original, right, guys? But anyway, we got out there and Connor and I took on Evan and Paul. Not going to tell you guys the results. I highlighted on Instagram and promised that there would be a podcast later. We're going to record that tomorrow, which will be Friday. And so I'll probably put that podcast out early next week, but not going to kind of divulge any details on how that went. It was a super fun time. It was just an awesome night to play golf. The wind was up. It was cool and comfortable, and Connor and Evan and Paul and I all had a great time, and we had a really good match, and we'll dip into that shortly. But outside of that, this week I haven't done anything golf related. I've been working from home this week, so at the house on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Haven't had a golf club in hand. I have not been out to play or practice, and I'm totally okay with that because I'm going to get back into the office tomorrow, which means I'll head out to Kauffman on my lunch break and hit some putts probably. I just kind of want to get the putter back in my hand and feel that. Ball striking has been solid lately, and I've got a lot of confidence there, so I'm not going to burn a ton of energy or effort hitting balls. I'll just kind of hit the putting green tomorrow for an hour or so, roll some putts, and kind of get some feel there. and then get ready for Saturday just mentally. And kind of what I'm doing for that, like this particular week, is it's the last event of the season. It's the last tournament, and I just want to go out there and have a good time. So lately, I've been playing really well, just getting out with friends and just enjoying the game in that capacity. So I'm kind of treating this weekend as just another round with the boys. Just going to take Watermark Country Club for what it is and do that. And the West Michigan Golf Association has been pretty consistent this year, whether it's due to COVID or what it might be. I mean, but the events I've played in this year, I've been paired with the same guys all summer long. So whether that's coincidence, whether that's intentional, I've had a really good time playing with these guys. So maybe when the pairings come out tomorrow, I'll get paired up with the same squad that I've been teeing it up with all summer. So it's going to be a cool opportunity to get back out with them and have one more event on the in store for us. It's going to be a nice weekend. But we'll see. I mean, Watermark Country Club is going to be, for me, an interesting golf course just because I've only played it, gosh, I think the last time I played there was late 2017. And so it's been a while. And from what I remember of it, I normally do for you guys kind of a course overview, kind of a precap for the event, and kind of talk about the course, maybe how I'll play it, how I'll prepare for it, all that stuff. But I've just got so little experience with Watermark. I know I kind of vented a little bit. That's not my favorite because it's not. But I mean, it is what it is, and we're going to get out there. And from what I do recall, is that it's kind of more of a golf course that needs to be approached strategically. So not hitting driver all over the place. It's going to be more positioned. I looked up the card the other day when I signed up for the event. I want to say the course from the tips is only like 6,800 yards. So it's short, and it's one of those where you can just go out there and kind of be strategic and kind of take a more tactile approach and hit irons off the tee. And it's going to be, for me, probably 4 iron off the tee a lot, and maybe a 3 iron or a fairway wood every once in a while. But 4 iron, short iron, I kind of figure is going to be the approach this weekend, and just let the golf course kind of set up and play however it plays, and roll some putts and see kind of where the chips fall. But either way, just looking forward to getting back out there and competing because, again, like I said, that's kind of just what I do. It's what I play this game for. And so that'll be my last opportunity to get out and compete on an individual basis. However, it will not be the last opportunity to compete this year. One of my favorite things about Michigan, and it's probably not Michigan specific, so, but usually around September or so, that starts what we locals call scramble season. And scramble season is when all the courses kind of do all their just fun events, whether it's fundraising scrambles, charity events, tough man tournaments. It's just a cool opportunity to get your group of guys and go out and tee it up and have a good time and play competitive golf in that way, try and win some cash, maybe skins games and stuff like that. So it's super fun. So I'll of course gear up for that. But in between individual competitive golf and scramble season is going to be another event on the Mitten Golf Tour for Paul and I. So if you guys remember tuning in to earlier this summer, Paul and I played in the Mitten Golf Tour's event out at the Meadows. And we teamed up, finished tied for third. It was super, super fun. It was a two-man scramble. And we're going to join forces again here in a couple weekends out at Quail Ridge. And Quail Ridge is a golf course here on the east side of GR over in Ada. And it's a super fun golf course. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to playing this one in a two-man scramble with Paul because it's one of those where, depending on what tees we play and kind of just how the weather is and how the course is playing, it is an incredibly fun risk-reward golf course. And there's a few short par fours that are drivable. There's some par fives where you can really try and be bold and give yourself eagle opportunities. And there's a couple of quirky holes out there that just require kind of some strategy. And it's just going to be a fun opportunity to get out and play a two-man scramble at this course and get back out on the Mitten Golf Tour. We had a great time out there with those guys and a great experience in the first event. So we knew that we were going to get back out there. And I had mentioned that Quail was probably going to be it. And we officially signed up for that event on Monday this week. So that's on August 23rd. So We're just both kind of getting geared up and super excited for that, which is also kind of why I played this weekend. I figured I'm going to play on the Mitten Golf Tour and get out there with Paul, and so I might as well play at Watermark this weekend and have a good time with the guys in the West Michigan Golf Association. And what's cool, this actually when I entered the Mitten Golf Tour event, the gentleman that runs that, the guy, shot me an email and said he listened to the podcast and wondered if I was going to tee it up and at Watermark this weekend. And at the time, I was still unsure. I had not committed to anything yet, but as of Wednesday, I decided to go for it. So I'll see him out there this weekend. Hopefully, we can cross paths and chat and share stories and get ready for Quail, because that's going to be super fun. But we'll put out a kind of a do the same routine that I did before. We'll put out kind of a tournament precap, and Paul and I will get on and we'll talk Quail. We both played there before and are familiar with the track. We'll talk strategy, maybe throw out some guesses on potential winning scores and maybe what we'll try and shoot, and we'll have some fun with that one, and then we'll do a recap, of course. But that'll come later this month, and it's just going to be awesome. I'm just overall, I mean, other than just kind of playing casual golf and playing tournament golf and doing this podcast with you guys, it's been a really, really cool and busy and fast summer. But if you can already believe it's August. And speaking of August, one of the things I kind of wanted to touch on as I'm recording this podcast here on a Thursday evening is the PGA Championship this week. I mean, being a golf fan and of course podcasting about it and having you guys out here as listeners, I mean, I gotta imagine you guys are tuning into the PGA Championship. And so let's talk round one. And first and foremost, I'm just gonna put this out there right now. I had two guys that I was predicting to win this event. And one of them is my fave, BK, Brooks Koepka. Love to see him get the three-peat and just kind of do what he does. The guy has just been, he's had a very mediocre season up until just the last week or two. And he kind of started to build momentum kind of back at 3M. And then, shoot, what did he play? Memphis over at FedEx St. Jude last week. He had a chance to win coming down the stretch and very well could have gotten it done if a few shots would have fallen his way better. But anyway, BK, he always shows up in major championships. That's kind of been his MO. And he knows he's going to be there. He knows he's going to do it and be in contention. And lo and behold, here he is. It's when I quit watching earlier, he finished at 4 under, was one back of. My other prediction for the week was Jay Day. Jason Day was at the top of the board at 5 under par. And I can have other people vouch for me that these were my picks prior to round one. Playing in just kind of a little fantasy game with a bunch of guys at work. And I had two guys on the pick. And Jay Day and BK were top of the list. I've got Jon Rahm in there. I've got a kind of a couple of dark horses, if you can call Henrik Stenson a dark horse, but I mean just because of the way he's playing this season, and obviously COVID kind of throws in a whole slew of other kind of excuses or wrenches or whatever you might have for having a kind of a down year, I guess, if Henrik Stenson can have a down year. But I got him in there. My super super dark horse is Cameron Champ. Actually, I think he teed off this afternoon, and so he might just be on the course right now. So I haven't seen how he's doing yet. And then I threw Philly Mick in there. I mean, it's Phil Mickelson. He's one of those guys that in a fantasy golf league, and I mean, who knows what he's going to do? He could show up and play awesome, have a killer week, have a chance to win, or who knows, might miss the cut. It's Phil, and his kind of season has been a little bit of both. It's been a mixed bag, but I do think he's trending. So Phil Mickelson could get out there and get it done. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But I mean, if you guys watched, I think I subscribed to ESPN Plus. So I ended up tuning in for the featured group coverage this morning of Tiger and McIlroy and Justin Thomas. So seeing those three out there, I wasn't going to miss that. That was just a cool group to go out and play Harding Park together, and just an awesome, awesome morning to kind of kick back and watch that. And I was kind of chatting with my buddies at work, Paul included, and I said, "All right, guys, featured group, we're all tuned in." So I said, "Who's going low today? Rory, JT, or Tiger?" And it was funny because all of us said, I think there were three of us, three out of four, kind of unanimously said Rory. And then one guy throws in Tiger, and I thought, man, it's Tiger. I mean, I don't have a ton of optimism for him this week. I think he could play well. And obviously, if you guys watched the first round, Rory shot even and Tiger shot two under. So it was I don't know, it was a weird group to watch today. And I had higher hopes for the group as a, overall. I thought we were going to see some better golf shots, and but they kind of just ham and egged it around, and it was kind of lackluster. And Tiger had moments. He looked really good. His game looked to be sharp, but I mean, shoot, guys were saying all over. I mean, it was on Twitter, it was on social media platforms all over the place. I mean, guys talking. It's Tiger Woods. I mean, you guys know. If there's one guy, I think I forget who tweeted it, but one of the guys, kind of in golf media, tweeted that if there's one guy that's going to get off his couch and contend in a major championship, it's Tiger Woods. And he's played what, four competitive rounds in the last 6 months. He played one event, the Memorial, where he finished what, like tied for 40th or something like that. It was pretty blasé. And but I mean, it's the PGA Championship. It's a major. And, I mean, psychologically, and you know the talent's there, the ability is there. And if the mental side clicks and Tiger comes out, he's got a new putter in the bag. Maybe he gets some confidence rolling the rock and knocks down a few putts. And I mean, shoot, the guy. Again, he had some really, really good stretches today. Ended up finishing two under. He's three off the lead. I mean, that's pretty stereotypical Tiger Woods first round of a major, if you ask me. And watching Rory was kind of eh. I mean, he was kind of flat most of the day. There wasn't really anything going his way. I know he kind of got on a couple of hot streaks there. He started off with a birdie and then rattled off a few bogeys, but then ripped off three birdies in a row, I think it was, or three and four holes. And then he ended up doing it again later in the round, but just not a whole lot of consistency there. It seemed like it was kind of that Jekyll and Hyde opportunity there this afternoon or this morning for Rory's. He kind of had a mixed bag. And then JT was tough to watch. Sorry, JT, man. I had higher hopes for you, kind of. But I mean, coming off the win at the FedEx St. Jude last week and everything that goes into that, and then getting out to San Fran and being a major championship. I mean, we all watch golf, we all watch competitive golf, and we all see that it's hard for guys to go week in and week out and show up. And so I still think JT's going to have a good week. I just think that he got off to kind of a slow start. And but I mean, shoot, he only finished one over par. It's not like he shot himself in the foot and shot like 75 or 76 or something ridiculous. So he's still totally in the mix. I mean, he'll probably come out tomorrow, and him and Rory and Tiger will get back out tomorrow afternoon and start on one. Some the back nine where they started today, they went off 10, and they say the back nine's kind of the tougher side. So maybe getting off on one, getting some momentum going, get some early birdies. You never know. JT can fly off the board. I'm pretty sure he ended up doing that last week at the FedEx St. Jude and kind of ripped up the leaderboard in the weekend ahead of winning the event. So you can never count that guy out. I didn't watch a whole lot of the other guys today, though. I just kind of tuned in for that featured group coverage and then just kind of followed JT, or not JT, J Day and BK on the online leaderboard because just wanted to see my boys get it done. And still thinking BK is going to get the W, but if you guys think differently, I'd love to hear it. So hit me up on Instagram at GSmithGolf. Let me know who you think is going to win. I mean, we should start like a Michigan Golf fantasy group. Maybe next season. Next season, we'll kind of queue it up, get some of the listeners involved, play a fantasy league all summer long, assuming that golf will have a normal, regular 2021 season. But maybe, who knows, maybe something to kind of future forecast. And speaking of kind of that stuff and getting more involved with listeners and taking this podcast up a notch and stuff like that, are you guys familiar with the Random Golf Club? It's the Eric Anders Lang stuff. And I tune into EAL quite a bit. He's got a killer YouTube channel, the podcast, all that stuff, and just what he does with the game of golf and sharing experiences is super, super cool. And so tied to him is Random Golf Club. And so what they do is Random Golf Club kind of has all these sub chapters as well. So I started following them on Instagram today, Random Golf Club Michigan. Just kind of tuning into what they're doing. And what it is, it's just an opportunity for people to get out and play golf together. It's a cool thing that they do. They group up, they coordinate rounds of golf, and they'll invite anybody and everybody, and you show up and play and meet people and just kind of become part of the group. And so the state of Michigan has one. And then I also stumbled upon, which I had no idea, but Grand Rapids has one. So there's Random Golf Club Grand Rapids as well. And following them just kind of briefly on the socials, the guys for Random Golf Club Michigan were heading up to Forest Dunes, I think it was what I saw on their Instagram page. And then the guys in GR just had a round together out at Alpine Golf Club, which I profiled a couple weeks back. So one thing I'm looking forward to doing is kind of getting involved in that. I want to hit these guys up, maybe join a couple of their groups, maybe podcast with some of them, get some people on and talk Random Golf Club GR, talk Michigan. I mean, we're all Michigan golfers here, so I mean, the more opportunity we have to kind of group up and play new courses and share new experiences is super cool with me. So looking forward to that as well. But I keep promising you guys talks of Pilgrims and then the Mines. And quick show of hands, who here has played Pilgrims Run? Okay, bad joke. Podcast, can't see your hands anyway. But if you played Pilgrims in Pearson, Michigan, it's awesome. It is, it's one of my favorite golf courses in the area, and I always talk up Kauffman quite a bit, of course, but Pilgrim's Run, it's a mere 30 minutes from downtown Grand Rapids. So I used to perceive it as a kind of a more of a jog up north, up 131 there, but it's not. 30 minutes, it takes no time at all to get there. Awesome golf course, and we're going to talk super highly of that one when the podcast comes. And the Mines, of course, is awesome as well. Other things to come. Shoot, I'm talking to the guys at work, Evan and Derek and Evan's buddy Alex. We're going to get out for the match. I don't even know if I can call it 3.0 because we're going to keep playing matches and see how it goes. But we didn't have Derek last time. We had Derek the first time. We'll get out there and get him back. And we're trying to figure out where to play. Derek wants to play Gracewell. I don't know if you guys have ever kind of heard of that or played that place. I know a buddy, actually Connor, who played Kauffman with me on Monday. He plays a league out of Gracewell. Doesn't talk super enthusiastically about it, but I mean, who knows? We talked about playing the back nine at Alpine, maybe doing a pod on that. We're trying to get to Derek friendly golf courses. So you guys got to know Derek a little bit. NASCAR fan, not an avid golfer in any capacity, but he enjoys the game and enjoys getting out with good friends and having a good time. And so he's open to getting back out with us, but we don't want to play somewhere like the Meadows where you're going to hit balls in the long grass, or we don't want to play somewhere where you're going to hit balls in the ponds all day or into the woods. So we're trying to find Derek friendly golf courses. And so the ones that come to mind for me were like Maple Hill, kind of over there in the Granville area. We talked about the Pines, which is also not far from Maple Hill, kind of between Kauffman and there. Wallingwood over in Granville. I think that's kind of where we're going to go. Paul plays out at Glen Eagle. He plays in a league out there. And that's kind of a little bit of a trickier golf course in some capacity. I don't know if that'd be very Derek friendly, but either way, we're going to get out next week. Derek has given me a big maybe on Wednesday or Thursday as far as his commitment level goes, but we're going to put together a match there, and that'll be a super fun time. I talked with another listener about getting out and getting a practice round in at Quail Ridge prior to the Mitten Golf Tour event, but lots of good stuff to come on the Michigan Golf Podcast. And again, super enjoying the opportunity to connect with more people. So I've been getting a lot of messages on Instagram and kind of hitting you guys up and sharing stories and talking golf and talking everything. And that's the whole reason I did this, is I wanted to share Michigan golf experiences with other Michigan golfers. So thanks a bunch for the support and for tuning in and being part of this experience this year. And lots of cool stuff to come. And again, hit me up. Hit me up on Instagram at GSmithGolf. If you guys want to get out and play, I'm happy to join anybody and everybody and play wherever, because the more opportunity I get out to meet you guys and hang out and play golf, the more I've got to talk about on this podcast. And I can play golf with my friends and my kind of core group or by myself and play the courses I know all I want. But the opportunity to get out and share new experiences and new courses with new people, like I did at Willowwood last weekend, that's kind of what this is all about for me. So anyway, let's take advantage of it. Let's do it together and kind of continue to share what Michigan Golf has to offer. But thanks a bunch again for tuning in. This was kind of a rambly episode, I know, as I'm trying to kind of piece together the last few weeks and then get ready for the city championship. But kind of some structure moving forward. We will play this weekend at Watermark. I'll come back to you guys next week and probably dish a kind of tournament review and kind of share what Watermark Country Club was like, how I played, see how that goes. Got to get you guys out the match 2.0, talking Kaufman with Paul and Evans. So anyway, stay tuned. Lots of exciting stuff to come. Thanks for jumping on the pod today, and we'll catch up with you guys again next week.